It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request, or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Whether you've been...
Oops, we almost had a Grant's Auction ad right here in the very beginning, but Amen. We're going to start out with, this is the Hour of Power, the yes. most powerful hour of the day. I'm Neva Pyatt, your host, sitting in the driver's seat. Miss Monica's over there running the iPad. And our guest today, our brother Lee Schrader. Good morning.
Good morning. Or as I said earlier, Guten Morgen.
Yeah, right.
Buenos dias.
Throwing all those languages at us Amen. This morning.
Amen.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can post it right on our Facebook page, and about halfway through the program, we'll stop and pray for you. Or you can send it to our email, hourofpower@cable1.net, and we'll check that ever so often. We are going to have to change our email to something else, but we haven't done that yet, so we'll do that before too long, because I think March 24th is the absolute deadline for that. So anyway, I think maybe I've covered, oh no, I haven't told who the sponsor is today. Our Facebook sponsor today is Barbara Dyson Ford, and we do appreciate each one of our sponsors so very much. So now I think I've covered everything, Lee. Will you Amen. Pray to start us out?
I will, but where's Billy?
He is in Oklahoma City, and he's doing very well. He's attending a church there.
Okay.
He's working. Okay. He is just doing great.
Well, I'm supposed to pray for him right now.
Okay.
Father, would you think, where's Billy's last name?
Frost.
Frost. Father, we just thank you for Billy Frost. Now, the very hairs of his head are numbered, and you know he is, and we know he is, but I feel compelled to pray for him this morning. Now, I take authority over assignments against him right now to discourage him and take him out of the will of God. And we thank you, Father, that no weapon formed against you, Billy, shall prosper, and every tongue, everybody that's saying something against you right now, you're proven to be in the wrong in the name of Jesus. So we thank you, Father, for Billy Frost, that all things go well in his life, that he has favor. You're opening doors of utterance for him, doors of favor, doors of prosperity, doors of ability, doors of wisdom for Billy Frost. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. It's better to obey the Lord than do what you think is right. Praise God. So
exactly.
That's what we prayed. Anyway, well, let's. I want to talk to you today about the keys to a fruitful prayer life. And we'll use this for our text, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 15 through 16. Let me just read this to you. 1 Timothy 4, 15 through 16. And Paul says this to Timothy, meditate upon these things. Now, how many times have I told you that if you don't know the definition of a word, keep reading.
Mm-hmm.
Keep reading. Now, I don't know if they teach that in schools anymore, but I learned that in like fifth grade English, you know. Keep reading. All right? Okay, meditate upon these things. Here you go. Here's what it means to meditate. Give thyself wholly to them. Now, that's further amplified in Joshua chapter 1, where he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. There's the word meditate, day and night. Give thyself wholly to them. Meditate, you know, day and night. It means it's something that you do a lot. You do it all the time. And it's further amplified that this word doesn't depart out of your mouth. So to meditate doesn't mean to sit there and which has happened with a lot of seeker-sensitive Christians in churches now, as they do what they call contemplative prayer, and you just focus on one thing, and you think about it. No, that's demonic. Don't do that. That's New Age crapola. That's Eastern religion. That's what the Beatles introduced to us, okay? George Harrison did, all right? It's the Maharishi Yogi, you know? It's Hare Krishna and all that trash. It's demonic. No, get the Word of God on your lips. That's to meditate. Okay, now let me get back to my text here. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly, wholly, to them. Why? That thy profiting may appear to all. Now, the key to this, the title this morning is Keys to a Successful Prayer Life. So we want to profit in prayer. We want to be efficient in it. We want to be productive in it. And we want God to answer our prayers.
Amen.
Which that's his job. God has a job too. His job is to take care of us and to meet our needs and our wants and our wishes. I said them all. Needs, wants, and wishes. Okay? So, oh, somebody said, you can't say that. Yeah, I can. Jesus said so. He said, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. That's Mark 11, 23, 24.
That's okay? What?
Mark 11, 24. Okay? And John 15, 7, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will, what you want. There you go. And it will be done for you of my Father, which is in heaven. Yeah. That's what the Bible says. Okay. So let's move on. Let's read verse 15 again. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. All right? So take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, obviously, Timothy's born again, so what does he mean that he's going to save himself? Well, he's going to further the productivity of eternal life in his, that the nature of God that's in him, he's going to further that effect in his life. That's what Romans 10:10 means. You know, with the heart man believeth, when with the mouth confession is made thereunto to salvation. You can say Jesus is Lord because faith has been imparted in your heart and you believe and therefore you're born again. And then as you continue to acknowledge the lordship of Jesus in your life, and then he begins to function and intervene and interject himself and his will into your life as you allow him to do that. Now, there's a sermon right there, but let's move on. All right. So the keys to a fruitful prayer life are, there's three of them that I want to talk about this morning. Now, these aren't the only ones, and I must interject that there are rules to prayer. And if people, and I have taught on some of these rules at times, one of them is, Jesus said in John chapter 14, from now on, I want you to pray to the Father using my name. My name, Jesus' name, okay? You want to pray to the Father using the name of Jesus. Now, God is merciful, and people who do, you know, inferior methods of prayer, like praying to Jesus or, you know, or God, you know, so many people pulled away from calling our Father God, Father, and you hear, they say, well, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. Well, you know, Paul said, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Okay, Jesus addressed the Father as the Father, and he said, he said this in John 17. He said, "I've told him your name. What is his name? His name is Father." Mm-hmm. Okay, because the Bible says this, and this is one of my scriptures. I get a little ahead of myself, but in Romans chapter 8 and Galatians chapter 4, he says, "Whereby he sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, and whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Father, that's his name. He's our Father God because we've been born again of incorruptible seed. We're children of God. We're sons and daughters of God. We're seated with Jesus in heavenly places. We have a special place over all the rest of humanity. So that's what we're going to do, is learn some of the three keys to an effective prayer life, but understanding that there are other rules. For instance, that little rabbit trail I just went off on is a rule about praying in the name of Jesus. You know, here's another aspect of prayer that you need to understand, that there are different types of prayer. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, he says, praying with all manner of prayer. Verse 6, 18, I believe it is. Okay. All types of prayer, all manner of prayer in the Spirit. Well, there's different types of prayer. You know, there's the prayer of dedication. That's what Jesus prayed in the garden. And unfortunately, because people don't realize that that's for a certain specific moment, that they think that's what they ought to pray all the time. Lord, if it be thy will. Well, okay. Well, you know, I hear that often when, you know, when people pray about healing. Lord, if it be your will. Or if they pray and then that person dies and they don't get healed, they say, well, what wasn't the Lord's will? Well, let's see what the Bible says about that. I'm trying to get to my text. Bear with me, okay? But let's see what the Bible says about that. Acts 10:38, it says how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power. This is when he was baptized in the River Jordan by John, and the Holy Ghost fell upon him. And he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. That says in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus with power, and he went about doing good and healing all. that were oppressed of the devil. Jesus said, he that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. He doesn't ever say no about healing. He doesn't ever say no about prosperity. Now, people say that a lot, but as we're going to, I won't read the scripture now, but in 2 Corinthians 1, 19 through 22, says that God always just says yes. He doesn't ever say no. He says yes. Now, the lie that a lot of people perpetuate is that, well, you know, sometimes God says no because it's for your own good. Well, no. If something doesn't happen, you've asked amiss, according to the James the first chapter. You've asked it out of your own lust. You haven't asked it out of faith. But that's a different issue. So let's talk about the three keys to a successful prayer life. The first one is you don't want to have a shortage of faith. You want to have an abundance of faith in your heart. Now, so I like to say it this way. If there is a problem in prayer, it is because of a shortage of faith. That means your word level is low. Now, people don't do this as much as they used to because of all the idiot bells and lights that we have in our vehicles. Like, for instance, when your oil is low and that light comes on, you better be checking your oil. Okay. But back in the day, when everything was analog, when you pulled in to get gas, that was the first thing you did was you popped the hood.
Check the oil.
Check the oil. Mm-hmm. Check the oil. Look at it. Check your oil. And you take your dipstick, pull it out, take your rag, and then put the dipstick back in and pull it out. And if it hits that little knurled area, it had two lines, you know, the line that's full, and then the next line where if it was in between these two lines, you were okay. But the bottom line, and after that, it was like this. You could even touch it. It was kind of like a knurled, rough, edgy kind of part of the dipstick. And if you're in there, you better put some oil in your car or you're in big trouble. Okay? It's like my son Matt, bless his heart. He's such a champion. If he's not a millionaire now, he's on his way. I mean, he's done so well in business. And he loves the Lord, and he has a ministry. But one time he was a boy. When he was going to college, he had a 1978 Jeep Wagoneer. Not a Jeep Cherokee, but a Jeep Wagoneer. Now, that's the predecessor to the Jeep Cherokee, and it's the coolest looking Jeep ever, okay? And it was like the deluxe model. It had leather seats, and somebody had given it to him. It was in poor shape, but it was going to be a fixer-upper. And one day, he pulled into the house, and I could hear a click, 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 click. And I said, Matt, you better check that. Oh, okay, I'll check it. So then his mom heard it. Matt, then she'd say, Matt, you need to check the oil. So I asked him, you check the oil? Yeah, I'll get to it. Well, one night, about 1 o'clock in the morning on a Friday or a Saturday, I'm asleep, and Matt comes in and knocks on my bedroom door and says, Papa, I need to talk to you. You know where this is going. And I said, okay. He said, I think my Jeep blew up. Okay. Where is it? Well, it's not in front of the house. Okay. So get in the truck, and off we went. And he was pulled off this exit off this highway, this freeway there in Tulsa, and had his hood up, and you could smell it. He had burned up the engine. And I was mad, but I was biting my tongue and I was being cool about it. But the first thing I asked him, I said, Matt,
did you ever check the oil?
And he said, no. He said, Pop, can we pray that God would heal my engine? And I said, no, Matt. I said, I don't have the faith for that right now. God can do it. But we're praying out of desperation. I said, what we need to do is let's just call AAA and get it towed back to the house. And then you can deal with it. And it sat in front of the house for about a long time. But you know what he did? He saved up his money. He got that engine rebuilt. Mm. And he drove that thing while he's going to college. Lesson learned. So if there's a shortage of faith, it's because your oil is low. Your word level is low. You know, people say, well, Lord, give me more faith. He can't do it. You've got to get it from the word of God. Now, let's read some scriptures about that. Go to Philemon chapter 1, verse 4. Philemon is in the New Testament. It's the last of Paul's letters, if you don't believe that he wrote Hebrews. Okay? Which I do, I believe it did. But it's a little tiny one. It's got one chapter. Philemon chapter 1, let's start reading verse 4. So if there's a shortage of faith, how do I get faith? Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You have to hear the word. Like right now, myself and Monica and Eva, faith is being imparted to us by what I am saying to believe. And those of you listening and watching right now and in the future, when this gets posted again, and I will be posting my version of this, when it gets posted again, if somebody will listen, faith is going to be imparted to them because they're going to hear the word of God. Now, I already gave a clue. The best way to hear the word of God is for you to put it on your lips. Meditate in it, okay? But let's read here, and this is proved right here in Philemon chapter 1, verse 4 through 6. Paul says this, I thank God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and all saints. This is his prayer, that the communication of thy faith, so you communicate by talking, the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So your faith becomes effectual, is increased, is enlarged, and is more efficient if you acknowledge everything that's in you in Christ Jesus, in Christ. All right? Now go to Romans chapter 10. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And this is for Neva, since you're writing down your notes, and I fumbled the football and didn't bring my index card with all the scriptures on it. It's Romans 10, 6 through 17. Okay? Let's read here. We're having a little Bible study this morning, so we're reading the scriptures. Romans chapter 10, verse 6 through 17. For the righteousness which is of faith speaketh. Well, look at that. We're talking again. For the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, or the righteousness which is of faith talks this way. Okay? Now here's how, and it's kind of, he's in telling you how to talk, he's getting ready to tell us how not to talk. All right? Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up again from the dead? Now, right there, people say that Jesus didn't die spiritually and go to hell. What do you do? What do you think about that scripture? Right there. Okay, anyway, let's move on. But what saith it? What does the righteousness of faith that speaks, how does it talk? It says this, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That is a direct quotation from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11 to 14. Verse 12, probably. Anyway, so he says, let's read on here. Verse 8, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, or near you, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. You know, somebody right now said, well, I just feel so away from God. Well, that's easily corrected. Just start, get your Bible out and get and eat. See, this is what it says in James chapter 4 and 1 Peter chapter 5. It says, God resists the humble. Okay? And he says this, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Draw near to God, and then he's going to draw near to you. Now, let me talk about Monica here for just a minute. And I believe...
Great subject.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome what God's doing in her life. I was going to tease her a while ago, and I'll go ahead and do it now. Not about your fashion, because you're kind of neutral today. But... I walked in. Anyway, and there's somebody sitting out in the lobby. Okay, I said, "Hey, how you doing?" Because greeted him, "Good morning." He said, "Good morning to me." So I come in, and Eva asked Monica who that is, and Monica says, "It's my neighbor." And I wanted to say, Monica, you know, you need to tone it down a little bit. Mm-hmm. You're always bringing somebody to hear the word of God. You're always talking to somebody about Jesus. I mean, can't you just give Jesus an honorable mention? That's what most people do. I mean, no. You know, Jesus addressed that specifically in the book of Revelation. He said, I'd rather you hot or cold, because you that are lukewarm or mediocre and give me an honorable mention, I don't like you. I'm spewing you out of my mouth. You see, people are offended by the name of Jesus. They're offended by Jesus. He said, if they hate me, they're going to hate you. So if they hate you, they hate me. So, you know, Jesus is, he gets the first place trophy. Mm-hmm. And it ain't a participation trophy. He did something. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. You know, he became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. And there was given unto him the keys to the kingdom of hell and death and the grave. The keys. So he doesn't deserve an honorable mention. He has first place. Because we know that in the book of Revelation, you know, that strong angel stood up and said, I can't find anybody to open the seals on the back of this book. It's Revelation chapter 5. Who can do it? And it says, one stood up who was looked like a lamb that had been slain. That was Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. No honorable mention for Jesus. No. No participation trophies for Jesus. No. No. He stood up. Now, there it doesn't say he said anything, but I know that he did. Because I'm convinced that what he said, I am worthy to open the seals. Because, you know, the Pharisees, you know, when he was talking about, you know, the plan of God, what God was doing, and they said, well, we be of Abraham. He's our father. And he said, before Abraham was, I am. And then they wanted to stone him. He is the I am. He is the Almighty God. He is the one that before all things existed. He's the one that spoke into existence all things. He is the Word of God. He is the one that's overcome the death and the hell and the grave. That's Jesus, okay? Now, wow. So faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Let's move on. So, Monica, well done. You're doing great. Don't tone it down. Here's verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'll just go back to my comments about healing a while ago. Whosoever, not some of them, not most of them, not a few of them, but whoever. You approach God in faith, something's going to happen. The story that comes to mind is the woman that we call had the issue of blood, the Bible says. Mark chapter 5. She'd been to many doctors and had suffered many things and spent all that she had. You know, modern day would say she'd wasted up all of her life savings, everything, her pension and everything, on her chemo. That's what she had done. She had done it. She had nothing left. But she had heard about Jesus. And so there was a big crowd, huge crowd, throngs of people. We know that. Because she had to crawl. Now, she was unclean. She was menstruating. Okay? That's right. She's not supposed to be there. And she didn't care. She didn't tell anybody. And if she saw somebody she knew, she ignored them. And there was so many people there that they're not going to let this frail. She was obviously frail. I guarantee she wasn't. If she was a large woman, she was a skinny one because she was ill. And there weren't obese people back then anyway. But anyway, so not that many. But so she crawled under the feet of everybody there, under the press. It said she crawled through the press. And then she said, you know, I know she was crawling because she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, just the bottom of it, I'll be healed. And so she did it. And it said, when she touched his garment, it says, the Bible says that Jesus knew immediately that virtue or power had gone out of him. Wham! And says she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. She felt that. He was aware that the power of God had left him. And she felt it in her body. And she was healed. And so she came back trembling to him. Because Jesus said, this is why I know there was a crowd of people. Because the disciples were his bodyguards. They're trying to keep the people, you know, from just mauling him, you know, Jesus, 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 Jesus. So they're trying to protect him. And And he said, "Who touched me?" Well, and so one of the disciples says, "Everybody's around here touching you. You're saying, who touched me?" Why? Because a demand had been made upon the powers of Jesus Christ. And he said, "Woman, thy faith hath made thee whole." Thy faith, her faith, not God's faith. It is. I mean, God imparts the faith, but it's her faith that belonged to her that she expressed by crawling under those people and touching the hem of his garment. Now I'm coming up to the intermission, so let's read on. I got to get all keys in here. All right. So, verse 14, "How then shall they call on him on whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him on whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written?" It's a quotation from the Bible, the Old Testament. "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." But that's Isaiah 52:7. "But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report?" Isaiah 53:1. Verse 17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Now, let's go to Galatians chapter 3, and then I think, Neva, you're probably ready for an intermission. Okay, let's go to Galatians chapter 3, and let's read with verse 1. Now, that is, I had on my list, but for brevity's sake, we're not going to read it, but what Paul is saying there, he's quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 11, chapter 30, verses 11 through 14, where he said, "The word's not far from you." See, people always say, "Man, I gotta go find the pastor. You know, I gotta go get the elder so and so. I gotta go find somebody, you know, who can pray for me." And that's all fine and dandy, but you don't have to. You're born again. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. The life of God's in you. Romans 8:11 works in your life. God's no respecter of persons. Romans 8:11, "That the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He that raised Jesus from the dead shall give life to your and quicken your mortal body." Or as the Amplified Bible says, death doomed and dying mortal body. Okay? Okay? So all you need is to appropriate faith. And then when that faith is there, and you'll know you have it. And I always like to illustrate it this way. And the many people I've counseled with, and the many people I've talked to in the ministry or whatever, and people, and they maybe have a dire condition, or maybe they have just a regular medical condition. But to God, there's no difference. And they'll say, and we'll talk about it, and then we'll maybe pray about it, and I'll give them the word. And they'll say this, "What do you think I ought to go to the doctor?" Yeah, you better go. If you're saying that, you don't have faith to be healed. Your faith is in maybe a combination of the word and maybe the doctor helping. You need to go. You know, I would never give that advice not to go. My wife, Kathy, when she was pregnant with her first child, Matt, the same one that blew up the Jeep, she had what they call an incompetent cervix. That's internal female stuff, okay? Mm-hmm. And so the obstetrician, Dr. Andrew Jensen from Temple, Texas, he, at that time he was one of like the gurus up there at Scott & White Medical Center, the medical center of the Southwest. He was a doctor, and he said, you got two choices here. You got three choices. You can continue about your daily life, and you're gonna have a preemie. Now, this is 1979. You know, preemies didn't live a lot of times back then, okay? I think she was 6 months pregnant. So he said, or we can operate on you, and we can sew it up. It's called a cerclage, and then when it's time to have the birth, we'll take the stitches out, and you'll be okay. But it's going to cost you like $15,000. Mm. We didn't have any medical insurance. Well, okay. Out of the question. Okay. Or your third choice is she can lie in bed. You can't get up for anything. You have to have a bedpan. You just can't move. And Kathy said, "No, I got a fourth choice." Mm-hmm. "I can believe God."
Mm-hmm. Amen.
"I can believe God." Mm-hmm. "I can believe God." And so this is what she said. She said, "Do you think I ought to lie in the bed?" And I said, "Yeah, I think you ought to lie in the bed for a while until you have faith to be where I get up and walk." And so I think it was about 3 days she laid in bed. Well, she cheated on going to the bathroom. I wasn't doing the bedpan. Sorry. You know. But But she fed on the Word. She confessed the Word of God. She listened to healing tapes by Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland. And she confessed the Word of God. And she meditated on the Word. And she ate, slept, and drank the Word of God for those 3 days. Then I came home from work, and she said, I'm ready. And she climbed out of bed. And I'm going to tell you, to this, she fulfilled the full terms of that pregnancy.
Amen.
The full term of that pregnancy. Because when, now this, I was in there, and this is March 15th of 1979, okay? So this is when we're transitioning. They're allowing the dads in, but you still got to scrub up. Everybody's scrubbed up. It looks like an operating room. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got their sweats on. Everybody's scrubbed up. I'm in there with my camera, okay? Scrubbed up, taking photos in black and white. I don't recommend color, okay? In black and white. And took photos of it. So I was in there, and I heard him say this. And there was like maybe two or three intern doctors in there with him watching this going on. There's like a buttload of nurses. I mean, there was a lot of people in there. And then there's me, okay? And so Kathy delivers Matt. No painkillers, no epidural. Is that what they call it? Epidural, none of that stuff. I mean, she delivered him naturally, okay? Wow. I was like, that's when I came to the conclusion there ain't no man that's got the heart to have a baby. Women are freaks of nature. I mean, just, no, you know, men, nah, you know, women have got heart. Women have got courage. God made you that way. That's why they're helpers to men. Men need you. We need women. Anyway, so it was like neat, you know, and so he said, and he was not a believer. But, and going in, Kathy would go and visit with him, and he'd say, you're crazy. You're going to have this baby premature. You can't do this. You can't put your religion over medical science. Now, how does that fit today? About the science, okay? Now, you can't put your religion over medical science. I'm a doctor. I know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Boy, how often do we hear that all the time? Mm-hmm. The science. We're doctors. We know what we're talking about, okay? So she just boldly declared the word of God to him. You know, you're going to look like a fool. You're going to look like a fool. But I'll tell you what this man said. I witnessed it. I wish I, you know, didn't have video cameras then. I'd had to have a Super 8. Yeah. So, but I have ears, and I was there, and Kathy heard it. And he said, I just want to say something. An unsaved man said this. He said, there's no way Kathy should have carried the full terms of this baby. He said, I told her at 6 months that she had, and he went through all the litany of the incompetent cervix, needed the cerclage. And he said, but I'm here to tell you that her faith in God, she carried this baby to full term.
Amen.
It was Kathy's faith. Mm-hmm. And I mean, because there's times I was like, I wanted to say something. You're like, hey, how you feeling? Mm-hmm. Or you feel anything down there? Didn't say a thing. If you can't stay in faith, just shut up. Mm-hmm. Stay in neutral. Just shut up. Do not talk. Don't ask people, well, how you feeling today? You know, or does your head hurt? Or, you know, gosh, is your bone healed yet? If you're saying stuff like that, shut up. Don't talk. And that's what I had to do, because I was in faith, but there was times I was like, I don't know, Kathy. But boy, I tell you what, she was a walking, talking word machine. Walking, talking, confessing the word of God, confessing healing. And there was times, I even think one time she spotted. I think she did. She never gave up. That's a true story. Woman, thy faith, according to your faith, it'll be done unto you. Let's take an intermission.